Got to preach without my coat tonight. It's a little warm in here. I don't know about all of you, but it is to me. I certainly hope the Lord doesn't throw me out. I remember that story that you told about the wedding feast when the man came without a coat, and they exited him very quickly outside the building. So I hope you don't do that tonight. But at anyway, be turning in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. We're going to talk about hindered prayer tonight. You know, we all believe that God answers prayer. We believe that He responds to the request of His people. We've been taught that all of our lives. As a matter of fact, one of the early things we teach our children is how to pray. Now, sometimes it doesn't always come out like we teach them, but they do pray. And we always tell them to bow their head before a meal or perhaps at other time and be able to communicate unto God the feelings of their heart. Well, it's something that we teach our children, but so few of us actually practice ourselves. We talk about how we believe in prayer and how important it is to our life. And we have prayer lists oftentimes that we suggest people pick up. And we often say to others, please remember whoever it is in your prayers, but many, many times we do not. I want to read from the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 as a preface to what we're going to talk about here tonight. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 7 and following, and it's not on the screen, by the way, so you're going to have to read along either that or you're going to have to listen very closely, okay? Peter writes, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, he says. Be pitiful, he says, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from evil, and that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and the ears of the Lord are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, that one passage tells me a number of things about prayer, and it tells me for sure that God does not always respond to every prayer that comes before His throne, and that prayers can actually be hindered. We know that Jesus taught in Luke 18:1 that men ought always pray. But now tonight, I want us to look at this concept of hindered prayers. Prayers are often hindered, and let me tell you, first of all, that prayer is important, as you see here, because it is a part of being a child of God. Just like we like to see our children pray, God wants to hear us pray. He does. Prayer is simply when we talk to God, Matthew 6 and verse 9. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. We teach our young children, but teach us to pray. And then the Lord taught them to pray and communicate unto God and gave what we traditionally call the Lord's Prayer. And I don't really, the Bible doesn't really call that the Lord's Prayer. And I really think the Lord's Prayer is etched on holy writ in the book of John, the 17th chapter. But at any rate, it's when we talk to God. And prayer is when we thank God. It is when we praise God and even pour out all of our sorrows and our cares before His throne. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says that we are to cast our cares on Him, for He careth for us. Prayer can accomplish much good. For James 5 and verse 16 says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. No wonder Paul said that the saint should always be prayerful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. He says simply that we are to pray without ceasing. That is, it should be a very integral part of our daily life. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we should always seek the blessing of God. And none of us should desire for our prayers to be hindered. But do you know that they can be? Now, I want to talk to you tonight about how they can be hindered. Now, I know that what he writes here about the husband and wife relationship, that they can be hindered if a man does not love his wife like Christ loved the church, and if a man does not consider his wife one who is the weaker vessel and gives honor unto her, then his prayer will be hindered. Well, how do you open a closed heaven? What do you do when your prayers are hindered? What do you do? Do you just go on doing the same old things, regardless of whether God responds to them or not? Or what do you do? What causes the roadblock and keeps our prayers from getting through unto God? We all should want our prayers to get through. We're not just praying to beat the air here. We certainly hope that they go higher than this roof, and many times we jest about that, but I think sometimes it is true. I think they are hindered by seven specific things that I want to talk about, and I'll try to make this as brief as I can tonight, and yet just as thorough at the same time. I believe that one of the reasons that our prayers are hindered is because of our infrequency in prayer. We do not pray frequently. How often do you pray? And just consider this. I'm not asking for a show of hands here tonight, not trying to intimidate or embarrass anyone, but let me just ask you the question. How often do you pray? Is it a part of your daily life? Do you actually go before God and petition Him? Do you do it every day? Do you do it once a day? Do you do it more than that? Do you do it once a week? How often do you pray? And what do you pray when you go before His throne? Do you go selfishly asking God to give me, bless me, respond to me? Or do you pray in behalf of other people? By infrequency, God wants to hear our cares and our sorrows. Now, you may not believe that, but it is true. God wants to help us. But He has asked that we go before His throne. But many times we just do not seek Him in prayer. And that's why Christ said men ought always pray, Luke 18 and verse 1. And we ought to be persistent in prayer. When we pray, it ought to be something that we do continually. You know, you can have bad habits. But I'm going to tell you something. You can have good habits too. Habit is not bad. I think everybody ought to be in the habit of praying. Now, sometimes when we say, well, you know, it's just habitual, or that is just a habit, if it is a sincere and genuine habit and a good habit, it is something we all ought to be doing every day. But if it's a bad habit, then we ought to quit. In Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 5 and following here, down through verse 10, Jesus, again, gives a very wonderful illustration here about the need to be frequent prayers. The Bible said, and He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Maybe you found yourself in that same situation. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, he said. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give unto thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open unto him. Now, what Christ is saying there, because even though it was not a very convenient time for your friend, he did it because of the friend's insistence on getting it done. I think sometimes God wants to know just how bad we want something, or just how important certain things are unto us when we go before His throne. Sometimes we very flippantly pray instead of praying out unto God from the very depths of our heart. God, I know I've come to you before, but I come to you again, and this is so important unto me. A young man told me the other night, he said, I pray to God daily with tears streaming down my face about certain things that are going on in my life. And I ask God to bless me, and I ask God to help me through the struggle that I now face. Someone said we ought to fight like a man on our knees before God. I believe our prayers are often hindered because of our infrequency in praying. Sometimes I wonder if God hears us pray and he says, "Now, who did you say that was again?" I think our prayers are hindered because of apathy, number two. Apathy destroys our country. We have a lot of people today that are apathetic toward this country. Got a lot of people that want to badmouth it, but very few people that want to get in there and do what they can to make it better. And there is a difference, folks. I know we live in troublesome times, but you know what? We need to start talking it up instead of talking it down. And we need to do what we can to make it better, and we ought to be praying unto God. God bless our nation, and I appreciate this church so much because this church does that. I've heard your prayers before God in behalf of our country. It does destroy our country. Apathy does. But not only does it destroy our country, it buries discernment. Sometimes people never ever really stop and think or discern what's going on, and we just bury that in an apathetic attitude. Prayer is when we talk to God, as I said. It is. But sometimes we refuse to listen to him. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. And if we're not willing to listen unto God, why should he? In the book of Isaiah 59, you've heard me quote this many times, but it is so true. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, God says that his ear is not so heavy that he cannot hear you. Hey, he hears you. You're coming through loud and clear sometimes. But he says, your sin has separated you from your God. God said, hey, my arm will reach you wherever you are. But your sin has separated you from your God. That he, listen to this, that he will not hear. That he won't hear. We need to learn to love, to hear and heed what God has asked us to do, that our prayers be not hindered. Psalms 1, 1 through 6, and it was a passage that we read this morning. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit at the seat of the scornful, but let your desire be unto God. But our prayers are hindered sometimes by doubt. How many times do you pray, and you pray in doubt? I told you about the man Owen, and I went to one time, and we asked him if he'd like a prayer, and he said, yeah, I guess it won't hurt anything. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That's doubt. How many times do you pray to God really believing? And I think that's what Christ said. He says, anything you ask in my name believing, you will receive. Sometimes I don't think we're really dedicated, honest, sincere believers in what we're praying. We don't. We think sometimes God just kind of rolls the dice up there in heaven, and whatever it comes up, whether it's a yes or whether it's a no, or perhaps a maybe, and however it lands is how God responds unto us, and we live in doubt. We do. By doubt, we live. But the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We should be. Why do we then sometimes ask God when we do not believe that he's going to give us an answer? James chapter 1. I think sometimes we do. But the Bible teaches us that we ought to have faith that God hears and that he's going to answer the prayer of those who are faithful. Mark 11 and verse 24. But then there's another thing. Our prayers are hindered by wrong relationships. What about your relationship with God, first of all? If your relationship is not right with God, he doesn't listen. But our relationship must be right with our brother and our sister in Christ. And that is when we've had an argument or when we've had great difficulty in our life, or maybe you've had a fight or a quarrel or whatever it happens to be. I want you to read this up here. Apologizing does not always mean that you're wrong and that the other person is right. It just means that you value your relationship more than your ego. Sometimes our ego keeps God from hearing our prayers. We get wrapped up in our ego sometimes. And when I talk about my wrong relationships with our fellow man, you know, when we have problems going on, Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 18, you read in Matthew chapter 5 also, that you pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. And Jesus taught that when you have a problem, go to your brother, try to straighten it out, Matthew chapter 18. If he will not hear you, take with you two or three witnesses that every word may be established. If that doesn't work, take it to the church. And if he will not hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heretic. Now, that's what Christ said, but many of us never, ever take the step to reconcile and to say, I'm wrong, or I apologize. It happens sometimes in our marriage, and I think Peter is saying that there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Sometimes it's the fault of husbands. It is. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. Sometimes it's the husband because he's not rearing his children in the way of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. When the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Sometimes it's the fault of the wives. I think you husbands saw I was going to leave that out, didn't you? Now sometimes it is the fault of the wife. It is your fault. Because you do not respect your husband, because you do not respect the head of the house, because you do not show honor unto him. And the Bible, and again in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 says that. It says, if you're reading the King James language, and that probably is not the best translation here, but the end of that chapter says, and let the wife see that she reverences her husband. That is, she honors him. And she submits unto him as the Bible actually teaches. And when mutual love, respect, and consideration abound in our marriages, not only will peace and harmony prevail, but husband and wife can be united together in prayer unto God, and the prayers of either are not hindered. I really think there's a built-in thought here that if the wife is not what she ought to be, her prayers are hindered also. But I think sometimes that our prayers are hindered by an unforgiving spirit. We must be a people that are willing to forgive and forget. You ever heard people say, hey, I'm never going to forget that. Hey, don't even ask me. Don't even go there. Well, I'm telling you, we must be a people that are willing not only to forgive someone, but we must be a people that are willing to forget the incident as well. That is, you dismiss it from your minds. It's not saying that you don't ever think about it, but when you begin to think about it, it is best that you dismiss it from your mind. Don't dwell on it. That's what he's talking about. But sometimes people have an unforgiving spirit. It would do well for us to say, I am sorry. People find it difficult sometimes to say that. When was the last time you said that to someone? I'm sorry. It's hard for us to say that, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard for us to say it because it's hard for us to admit that we ever make a mistake. But you do, my friend. We all do. By an unforgiving spirit, you see, Jesus prayed, forgive as we forgive. Isn't that the prayer that he taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12? Father, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us. And if we're unwilling to forgive, we have violated the Holy Scripture. The book of Ephesians 4 and verse 32 is profound in talking about forgiveness. The Bible says that we are to forbear one with another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We must be willing to forgive. Our willingness to forgive does not negate God's conditions of pardon. I think that's one of the biggest handicaps sometimes to our forgiving other people, is we feel like if we've forgiven someone, they just got off scot-free. That's not true. There's a higher court in heaven. There is a higher judge to whom one is amenable, and that's heaven. Now, if I forgave a person or dismissed it from my mind, they still stand before God. And if they've not made right their wrong, and if they have not had a willingness of heart to repent and change and seek God's forgiveness, hey, they still stand condemned. It doesn't make any difference how many times I dismiss it from my mind. It doesn't. Our prayer for forgiveness is hindered when we are unwilling to forgive. Mark chapter 11. But there's another thing. Our prayers are hindered by our sin. By our sin. Number six. By sin, not only are our prayers hindered, but it separates us from God. Now, I don't know about you, but it would grieve me tremendously to be separated from God. It grieves us when we are separated from people that we love, when we lose a loved one in death, or perhaps maybe you go to see someone that lives a great distance away and you're not able to see them as frequently or as often as you want to. And that grieves us because we have to say goodbye. But can you imagine being separated from God eternally? Eternally. By sin, someone has said, prayer keeps one from sin, but sin keeps one from prayer. David and others reveal the effect of sin on their prayers. They do. He said in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he says, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, that is, if I allow it to live in my heart, the Lord God is not going to hear me. Not going to. And the Bible clearly teaches that sin separates a man from his God, as I've already mentioned, Isaiah 59. Therefore, the saint must repent, confess his sin, to be reconciled unto God. Isn't that what he said in 1 John 1, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. If we confess our sins, he is willing to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Simon understood it in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. When he sinned, Peter said, repent and pray God that the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. The sin that is unrepented of and unconfessed is a sin unto death. You ever wonder what it was? And you read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16 where he talks about the sin unto death. I can tell you what it is. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that's the rejection of Christ and the rejection of his will that says that when we sin, we must confess our sin and ask God to forgive us. Any sin could become an unpardonable sin, folks, if it is an unrepented of sin. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, a little verse that follows that one that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhort one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. He says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. We must turn away from evil and do good that our prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter chapter 3. Last of all, our prayers are hindered by our pride. You know, pride is something else, isn't it? Pride gets us in a lot of trouble. We become self-willed with our pride. Then we become rebellious because we believe that we're okay. It's all right for us to be proud, and it's all right for us to be selfish. After all, in this world, someone said it's a dog-eat-dog world. You look out for number one. You look out for yourself. No one else is looking out for you. But you know what? For the Christian, God's looking out for you. He is. King Saul learned by experience, you cannot be self-willed. God rejected him. When he told him to destroy the Amalekites, Saul didn't do it. He rebelled against God in his pride. and it led to his destruction because he was so self-willed. Remember the Pharisee and the publican story that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 18? The Pharisee that thought he was so righteous beat up on his chest and began to talk about how righteous and how good he is. And God said the publican went down to his house justified, more so than that Pharisee. We need to learn from their mistakes and humbly submit ourselves unto God. For 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and following teaches us that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. He lifts up the humble. What a shame it would be for our prayers to become an abomination. And that's really what they can be in the sight of God. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Hindered prayers may not be something thought about in a long time, but I'm telling you tonight, folks, it's a very serious thing. To even stop and ponder the fact that when we pray, even though we go through the motion, even though we may say the right thing, our life does not measure up to what we pray. And so God does not respond favorably. No more than God will save a man out of Christ. And that's why those who are not Christians should follow the plan of God in order to get to heaven, in order to get on praying terms with God. This is true, folks. And you read the Bible, you don't even have a right to pray till you become a child of God. Do you? How can you call one Father who's not your Father? How can you pray, Our Father which art in heaven, if he's not your Father? And the Bible says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so we hear that word of God and we allow that word to lodge in our hearts to the point that we become believers in what God says. And then after believing, we're willing, if you will, to repent of all of our sins, to change our life. If we're not going to change, God's not going to listen to us. And if we're willing to repent and acknowledge Christ as Savior and Lord, and we all ought to be willing to do that until one acknowledges Him, is it possible that Christ is going to acknowledge us? In Matthew 10:32, He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. But if you deny me, then I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. And then one must be immersed or lowered in water, baptized for the remission of sin. Jesus taught in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And then we must be faithful unto God. Now, I'm not talking about a haphazard faithfulness. I'm not talking about a faithfulness that says, well, Super Bowl's not on, I'll show up at church. It's not a faithfulness that says, well, you know, if I don't have anything to do, I'll show up at church. Or if I don't have too many expenses this month, I'll give to God. That's not the kind of faithfulness he's talking about. But he's talking about a genuine faithfulness. And I think most of us know what that is, but many of us at times fail to practice it. I hope what we shared with you tonight will lodge upon your heart this week. And I hope you'll realize just how important prayer really is. It is so important. One of the great blessings you and I have is going before the Father. And we can do that collectively. We do it individually. The church often made collective prayer for one another. Maybe tonight you have something troubling your heart. Maybe you're bowed down with a burden. Maybe there's a problem that's going on in your life you've been unable to resolve. But I'm telling you, brethren, if we do what God asks us to do, and we have the right spirit, that contrite spirit, then I believe that God listens to us in heaven and responds to our desires, the desires of our heart. So tonight, if you have that desire to petition Him and you want the church to pray with you and for you, hey, we ought to be free to acknowledge that to one another. And if you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel tonight. We're ready to assist you while we stand and while we sing.